Tonight, Mr. James Mason stars in Painted Veils from Studio One at CBS.
So, it's all decided and without even asking what I thought.
There wasn't time.
Well, Esther Brandis, I don't think you'll need me any longer.
Where are you going?
To celebrate Christmas Eve. Alone.
With a moment from Painted Veils by James Huneker, we invite you to Studio One. A full hour of dramatic entertainment from radio's most celebrated playhouse. And now, to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Tonight, our story is a kind of carnival Christmas card in red and purple. Painted Veils, based on James Huneker's memorable and magnificent novel, is the portrait of a woman, Esther Brandis, the beautiful and perverse. But it's also the portrait of a man, Ulick Inverne, and of a city, New York. New York, when it was a big, small town entering the 20th century, the New York of 5 cent beer and Little Egypt, of Mark Twain and Lou Charles and John L. Sullivan, and of grand opera that was very grand indeed. A town that was gay and young in the bright days before it grew into the sky. And tonight, starring as Ulick Inverne in Vincent McConnor's version for listening of Painted Veils, we have with us one of the most exciting and exceptional personalities in the world of motion pictures, Mr. James Mason. And with Mr. Mason, you'll be hearing Mercedes McCambridge as Esther Brandis, with the soprano magic of Eileen Farrell recreating Esther's singing voice. Kathleen Cordell plays Mona, and as Paul Goddard, Everett Sloan. Here with the Christmas card from Studio One. Please to begin.
Here in the control room until it's time to go on the air.
You're the announcer?
Yes, that's right. Oh, won't you sit here?
Thank you, young man. How different everything is today. Always continues to amaze me the way radio has increased the public's knowledge of fine music.
You've had something to do with that yourself, Mr. Inverne. We're very grateful to you for coming down here tonight, Christmas Eve, to take part in our broadcast.
I'm delighted to do it. Brings back memories. Besides, you're going to broadcast the voice of Esther Brandis. I want you young people to hear her at her best. That record I just gave you was made when she was at the peak of her career. The young man will take good care of it.
Oh, yes, yes. He's already putting it on the turntable.
Forgive an old man's concern for a cherished memento of the past. You see, as far as I know, that record is the only one of its kind in existence.
So I understand. Mr. Inverne, was Esther Brandis really one of the greats in a class with Caruso, Melba, and Sembri?
Indeed she was. I know you young people are always skeptical of anyone who prattles about the old days of grand opera and great voices, but wait until you hear this record.
There seems to be so little real information about Esther Brandis' private life, mostly press agent stories.
They're based on fact, most of them. Esther Brandis was an astonishing personality, a very beautiful woman. Her hair was a strange blue-black, and her eyes were a peculiar dark green.
I've seen a number of photographs, and I've always thought she looked like a completely different person in every role she sang.
Young man, Esther Brandis was not one woman. She was many women. She was impetuous, vital, and unpredictable. Sometimes adorable, sometimes ruthless. Esther Ishtar. The daughter of sin. In my long career as a music critic, she was the most ambitious singer I ever knew.
We still have some time before you go on the air, Mr. Inverne. Could I get you a glass of water?
No, nothing, thank you.
Well, then, if you'll excuse me, I'll see that everything's ready. I'll be back in a moment.
Certainly.
What did she look like, Esther Brandis? Where did she come from? When did she first arrive in New York?
I'm very bad on dates. Let me see. It must have been 1896 when Esther Brandis first came to New York. November 1896. I remember it was a winter veiled in snow. I was doing a bit of writing, music criticism, that sort of thing. In those days, most of the city's musical life was downtown. Esther had engaged a room in a boarding house run by a French couple over in the Chelsea section.
Oui, mademoiselle. I should like to see Madame Felice.
So, and who are you?
My name is Brandes.
And I am Madame Felice. Welcome, mademoiselle. Come in out of the snow.
Papa, papa.
Oui, chérie, I come.
Bring in mademoiselle's luggage. This is Papa Felice, my husband, Mademoiselle Brandes.
Enchanté, mademoiselle.
This way, Mademoiselle Brandes. Your roommate will not be free for several days.
Oh, but I wrote you. I am very stupid about such matters.
Somehow I did not think it was until next week.
But I have no place else to stay. I don't know a soul in New York.
Never fear. I shall put you into another room. The very best in the house. A splendid apartment here on the ground floor. You will like it.
But I've only a very little money. You'll be sure to let me have the cheaper room at the end of the week.
Absolument, mademoiselle. Here we are. Actually, this is a suite. A large music room and a bedroom. It belongs to Monsieur Invern, the critic of music. He's out of town.
Oh, how very nice it is. So comfortable with that fire on the hearth and the piano.
This is the property of Monsieur Invern. He's not only a writer, he also plays Chopin. Eh bien, dinner is always served from 7 until 8. We have frog legs tonight, sautéed in butter. Oh, mademoiselle is not hungry, perhaps just an omelette.
Oh, but I am very hungry.
C'est bien. Every great singer I've known has the appetite. You will be a singer.
But, madame, I am already a singer.
Now, who's been moving that furniture about? What's happened here?
Who are you? What are you doing in my room?
I might ask you precisely the same question. In fact, as soon as I light this chandelier, I shall ask you. Ah, very attractive young lady.
You get out of here. This instant. I shall call Madame Felice.
But this is my room and you're in my bed.
You? Then you're... But Madame Felice told me you were out of town.
Madame Felice... The last time I went away, I found all three members of a string trio occupying my quarters when I returned. What do you play, the cello?
I am a singer.
A singer? Well, what's your name?
Esther Brandes.
There's a very beautiful actress in Paris called Marta Brandes.
Is she also a great actress?
No, not as great as alluring. Are you American?
I was born in Virginia.
There's no trace of Southern in your accent. It's a certain softness, nothing more.
My father was a Dane. My mother a French woman.
Ah, well, that explains it. And what sort of a singer do you think you are?
I don't think, I know. A dramatic soprano.
Indeed. Very large order.
I mean to accomplish it.
Well, let's hear you sing.
What do you mean?
Simply that. Let's hear you sing. Don't you understand English?
I speak 5 languages.
Very well. Get out of bed and sing for me.
At this hour?
It's not yet midnight.
But my voice... My throat's asleep.
Permit me to decide about your voice. Well, put something around your shoulders. Come along.
I've always heard that music critics were insufferable.
If you're any good, you shouldn't mind singing in the middle of the night, standing on your head or any other way.
I don't mind at all. It's just that you're so...
Never mind what I am. Let's hear you vocalize. Bad.
Really, you're exasperating. What do you mean, not bad?
I mean, not bad. Do it again. Whoever you are, go away.
What's all this noise?
Oh, do go away, Madame Felice.
Oh, Monsieur Invern, you have returned.
I have indeed returned and found this young lady asleep in my bed.
Monsieur, I regret it very much, but tonight you must sleep on the sofa in the back parlor. I find Mademoiselle Brandes another room in the morning.
Thank you. Good night, Mr. Invern.
Good night, Miss Bradley. Ah, good morning, Miss Brandis.
Good morning.
I've been reading my paper, waiting for you. Won't you sit here with me?
Thank you, no. I prefer to eat breakfast alone.
Sit down, mademoiselle. It's your table. Here with Monsieur Imbert. Now, déjeuner pour deux?
Oh, but I'd rather not...
Everyone is assigned a regular table at the Maison Felice. This is ours, Miss Brandis, yours and mine. We'll always dine together.
Shall we, indeed?
Come, sit down.
Very well.
Bien. I tell madame you are here. Chérie, mademoiselle Brandis. She waited breakfast.
This is Bohemia, Miss Brandis. At dinner time, this room is filled with celebrities. Painters, actors, musicians. I would apologize for last night, except that you were in my room.
Suppose we forget the entire incident.
Oh, but I can't do that. I must do something for you to make up for what happened. Last night, you said that you mean to be a singer. How do you intend to accomplish that? Perhaps I could help you.
My plans are quite clear. I shall begin by studying at the Conservatoire Cosmopolitain.
Indeed.
I suppose you've heard of such a school?
Yes, I believe so.
It happens to be the finest conservatory of music in America.
Really?
Yes, and I have a letter to Madame Fouchmadi. She's one of the instructors there. Do you also know of her?
Oh, yes, vaguely.
Here we are. Virginie Poulter.
Oh, but that's only chocolate and rolls.
Rolls? My dear young lady, these are the most delicious brioche you'll find on the entire island of Manhattan.
And this? This is all you get for breakfast?
Mademoiselle, do not be disturbed, for you I'll fix a special omelette. It will take but a moment. You will serve it, Papa. Come.
I come, Chérie.
You realize, Miss Brandis, Madame Fouchmadi is a great teacher. Unfortunately, she's so busy with her own concert work that she can take very few pupils.
She will have time for me.
And when do you intend to see her?
Immediately after breakfast.
I wish I might hear you sing before you audition for Madame Fouchmadi. Last night, I could not tell what your voice was really like.
I have been told that it is placed to perfection.
Indeed. And what are your other qualifications?
I am also a trained musician.
Mm-hmm.
Pianist and accompanist.
Hmm.
I read and transpose at sight, and I have...
I know all about you young women who do everything. All you young hopefuls are all alike. Complete egotist. Well, Miss Brandis, you have ambition and, I suspect, intelligence.
Well, I suppose I should thank you.
You have presence and beauty. With your self-confidence, you may even become a great artist, if you also happen to possess a voice.
I do possess a voice, and I will become a great artist. I must.
We shall see.
My parents also wanted to be great artists. My father was a baritone and my mother a pianist.
What was their name?
You never heard of them. Neither did anyone else. They died unknown in a small Virginia town. Well, I'll make up for that. I'll be famous. The world will hear of Esther Brandis.
Yes, I expect it will.
Mademoiselle Brandis, this letter recommends you very highly.
Madame Fouchmadi, for years I've dreamed of coming to New York to coach with you.
In a moment, one of our accompanists will join us. Then I shall decide whether you shall study with me or another member of our staff.
Oh, but I must study with you, personally.
We shall see. I am busy. Madame?
Ah,
you are Victor. Will you close that door, please?
Oui, madame. I was engaged when you sent for me.
Victor, you are going to accompany Mademoiselle Brandis.
Enchanté, mademoiselle.
Monsieur,
what can you sing?
Anything from Buttercup to Isolde.
No, please, no Wagner.
Then what do you know?
Moi, mademoiselle? I know everything. Name what you wish to sing and I shall accompany you.
Preferably something French if you wish to please him.
What about Plaisir d'Amour?
Ah, plaisir d'amour. Oui, oui.
You're quite right, Miss Brandes. You do indeed have a voice.
Mr. Inver, what are you doing here?
Monsieur Inver, when did you return?
Only last night.
Do you know Mr. Inver?
Know him? He's one of our lecturers.
What?
You should attend these lectures, mademoiselle, if only you can fight your way through the crowd of young ladies.
Ah, it is good that you are back. I have missed you so terribly.
We must have dinner one night. Yes. Now, what about Mademoiselle Brandes? Ah,
a pity she was not taken in hand sooner.
A great pity.
My dear child, you have no steady production. You phrase like a fool.
Then you don't like my voice.
I did not say that. One day it will be a magnificent voice.
Yes.
Everything that is wrong with it, I will fix. You work only with Fushmadi. If you study with anyone but me, I shall kill them.
Oh, this is a wonderfully exciting place. What's the name of it?
This is a very famous restaurant. It's called Luchow.
Oh, yes, my father ate here once, years ago. He always talked about it.
Luchow's is an excellent place for any sort of celebration.
And this is a real celebration. I'm going to coach with the great Madame Fushmadi. Me, Esther Brandes.
I'm celebrating quite another thing.
Are you, Mr. Inver?
Yes, I'm celebrating my meeting, Esther Brandes.
That's very sweet of you. Especially after I was so rude.
Not rude, spirited. There could never be a singer without spirit. Now, I'll order the wine. This calls for champagne. Then we might have roast goose or saddle of hare.
Hello, Eunuch.
Mona, what are you doing here? Is your brother in town?
No, I'm with some friends. We just came in and I had to speak to you before we found our table.
This is Miss Milton, Miss Brandes.
How do you do?
I didn't mean to interrupt Miss Brandes, but I wanted to find out whether or not Eunuch was going to the opening night of the opera next week. Nellie Melba singing Marguerite.
Melba in Faust?
But of course I shall be there.
Oh, then I shall see you.
We'll have a rendezvous between the acts. Who's taking you?
Oh, I suppose my parents. They have a box. Good night, Miss Brandes.
Good night, Miss Milton.
I'll see you at the opera, Eulich.
I'll look for you.
What did she call you?
By my first name, Eulich.
Eulich? Eulich Inver. It's rather a strange name. Who is she?
Her brother and I are old friends.
She's very beautiful.
And very young.
Obviously, you didn't expect to see her tonight.
No, I certainly did not.
And just as obviously, she hoped you'd say you were taking her to the opening of the opera.
That, of course, is quite impossible.
Oh? Why?
Because, my dear, I'm taking you.
And four more acts to come.
I envy you your enthusiasm.
Someday I shall be singing here.
Hello, there's Paul Goyer sitting across from us.
Oh, who's he?
He's one of the wealthiest young men in New York.
Beyond that, what does he do?
Very little. He's interested. He inherited the Goddard fortune. His father was one of the founders of the opera. Paul's taken over most of his father's projects, including the Goddard Musical Foundation.
Isn't that the foundation that gives scholarships to singers for study in Europe?
Yeah, that's the one. Oh, that interests you.
Well, he isn't unattractive, you know.
Come along, we'll take a turn in the lounge.
But we'll be back in time to hear the start of the next act.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yes, I don't want to miss a single bar of the music.
Having any Melbourne put on weight for us.
Won't this thing soon be over?
Over. I could listen to Chandra all night. People feel like opera.
Frankly, I hate it.
You know, the orchestra was magnificent. But some of the singers weren't too good. Oh, I shouldn't say that. My very first opera, and I'm criticizing the singer.
Why not? You're a singer.
But not the orchestra. It was wonderful. I would like to sing with such an orchestra.
And so you shall someday, this very orchestra. Hello, here's Paul Goddard.
Well, Eulich, I thought you were out of town.
Got back last night. May I present Mr. Goddard, Miss Brandes?
I've been watching Miss Brandes all evening. In fact, she's ruined the opera for me. Have you been told, Miss Brandes, that you're the most beautiful woman in the entire Diamond Horseshoe?
Are you always so direct, Mr. Goddard?
I am.
There's nothing very subtle about Paul. He says what he means, though I'm not quite so certain that he always means what he says.
I like directness. Mr. Invern says you're the famous Goddard of the Goddard Musical Foundation.
Oh, don't tell me you're a singer.
Yes.
Well, we're always interested in promising young singers.
Julie got searched everywhere for you.
No, no, my dear.
You promised that we... Oh, Miss Brannett. Good evening. And Paul, how nice to see you.
Hello, Mona.
Well, Paul, shall we go back to our box?
Back to our... Oh, yes, back to our box. By all means.
But, Esther...
Then you and Miss Brandis, you aren't together?
Well,
I'm with Mr. Goddard. Isn't that right, Paul?
You most certainly are.
Perhaps we'll see you later, Miss Milton. Yes, perhaps. And you too, Mr. Invern.
I shall look forward to seeing you again, Miss Brandis. I shall indeed. Dear young lady, apparently you're above all the ordinary rules of courtesy.
Oh, you're still angry about last night. Mr. Goddard only took me out for supper. We went to Churchill's.
The details of your evening with Paul Goddard need not be recited, if you don't mind.
You are angry.
Angry? I'm furious. I've never been so angry with a woman in all my life. I do not like being made a fool of, Miss Brandis.
Oh, forgive me, I had no intention
of making... Let us attempt to forget the entire incident.
I was hoping you would say that. I wouldn't want you to be really angry with me. You're too important to me. I need your help.
Last night, you seemed to think Paul Goddard would help you, but apparently he did not surrender to your charm. Today, it is I who can be useful.
No, I won't let you be angry. Not today. You see, Madame Fouchemadie has given me my first operatic role to study. I need you to help me with it.
Of course you do.
There's so much you can tell me. Madame says you know more about how a role should be interpreted than most singing teachers.
Did she say that?
Yes. You will help me, won't you? Please, Yuli. Please.
What's this role you're supposed to study?
Traviata.
Yes, that'd be a good one for you. Yes.
Then you will help me.
Someday I shall write a book about Esther Brandis. It'll be a study in ambition. I shall call it Painted Veils. Now, don't ask me to explain why, but because I shan't.
Very well, I won't ask. I brought the score of Traviata with me.
Let's see it.
Here we are.
Now, to prepare you for the role of Violetta, you get a copy of the Dumas play.
Yes.
You must study the Lady of the Camellias, study her mind and above all her heart. Now, supposing we begin the recitative from Act One. Alfredo has spoken for the first time of his love. Now he's gone. The faint light of the dawn silvers the city of Paris, and Violetta sings A Forse Lui.
The one of whom I dreamed.
The one of whom I dreamed.
Ulick.
Mona, what are you doing answering the door?
I've been waiting for you to come. Never mind, Mary. It's Mr. Invern. Tell Mama I've gone out for a walk.
I don't want to go for a walk. It's beginning to snow.
We won't go far. Just here in the square. Look, I have the key to the gate.
What'll your mother say? You and I locked in Gramercy Square.
She'll say it's both proper. We'll be walking inside of her window.
Oh, really, Mona, you are a headstrong child.
I am not a child. That's why I wanted to talk with you this afternoon. I'm sick of being treated like a child. I'm nearly 20. Lots of my friends were married before they were 20. Here we are.
You're entirely too young to be thinking of marriage. I'm going to speak to your brother about you when he comes home for the holidays.
But he's not coming home.
Then I shall write to him.
Now then, Ulick Invert, you can't escape. We're locked in Gramercy Square. Just the two of us.
Mona, why did you send me a note asking me to call this afternoon? And why have you brought me here?
I had to talk with you, where no one could interrupt us. Especially your operatic friend. By the way, Paul Goddard's seen quite a bit of Esther Brandis.
You are a minx.
Ulick, I've got to know. Are you in love with Esther Brandis?
You've no right to ask such a question.
I shall die if you love her. I shall.
Why are you talking like this?
Because I'm in love with you.
But you... you can't be.
I can be. And I am.
Despair in your heart, more pathos.
But Madame Fouchmardi says Santuzza should sing this aria as though her...
To the devil with Madame Fouchmardi. Sing it the way I tell you. I've heard this hundreds of sopranos sing this role, and few of them understood Santuzza's character. She's a very simple
person. But Julek, she has...
Don't interrupt me. How can I help you if you're always interrupting?
Very well. I'll not interrupt again.
Now what? Come in.
Mademoiselle Brandes, Monsieur Inverne, you must come into the drawing room immediately.
For what purpose, madame?
We're having a party. All the other guests are there. Monsieur, do you not realize that it's Christmas Eve?
So it is. I'd quite forgotten.
You and Mademoiselle Brandes must put the music aside tonight. Papa and I will be most unhappy unless you join us.
Very well, we shall be there presently.
At midnight, we want Miss Brandes to sing a Christmas carol.
I'll be glad to, madame.
We've been working rather too much, I expect. This next week, we might relax a bit. How'd you like to go to the theater, Esther? Perhaps dinner at the casino?
Oh, but this week I shall have to work even harder than before.
What do you mean?
Well, I didn't have a chance to tell you earlier. Madame Fouchmardi has given me the most wonderful Christmas present. I'm to make my debut at the Academy of Music.
What are you talking about?
Madame arranged an audition for me.
How dare she do such a thing without consulting me?
But you...
But aren't you ready for your debut. I'll see them tomorrow and tell them so.
No, you can't. I signed a contract this afternoon.
A contract?
Yes, I'm to sing Aida.
So, it's all decided and without even asking what I thought.
There wasn't time. They signed me up as soon as I finished my audition.
Well.
There wasn't time.
Esther Brandes, I don't think you need me any longer.
Hulick, where are you going?
To celebrate Christmas Eve. Alone.
Brandis' girl is magnificent.
Yes, quite a voice.
Discovery of yours, isn't she?
Well, you might say she's a protege of mine. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Why don't I discover a beautiful young lady?
Please, will you let me through here?
I am very sorry you cannot come in.
Madame, it's Julek Inverne.
Oh,
Monsieur Inven, come in, come in.
Well, where is she? Esther! I come to apologize. You are magnificent. I'm sorry that I deserted you.
Monsieur, it is she who has deserted you.
What?
Believe me, monsieur, this girl will get everything she wants.
Of course she will. She's ambitious.
Perhaps too ambitious. She needs patience and perhaps a little gratitude.
I'm afraid that's too much to ask, madame.
Well, what is ambition without a heart?
Esther has a tremendous heart. Why are you talking like this, madame?
Oh, you are right, monsieur. She does have a heart. But it is cold, like a hard-boiled egg.
Where is Esther?
She has gone with Monsieur Godard.
With Paul?
Our little songbird has won a scholarship from the Godard Musical Foundation.
I knew she would. Where is he taking her?
He is driving her to the ship. Esther is sailing at midnight to study in Europe.
And she left no message for me?
She had other matters on her mind, my friend. I, for one, shall never forgive her.
Oh, yes, you will. With a voice like that, we'll all forgive her.
From Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you're hearing James Mason starring in Painted Veils, a version for listening by Vincent McConnor of the James Hunica novel. Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. James Mason and the soprano voice of Eileen Farrell in Fletcher Markle's production of Painted Veils.
And when I get married, I want a tremendous house and dozens of children. Ulick, you haven't heard a word I've said.
Sorry, Mona. No, as a matter of fact, I haven't. What were you saying?
It wasn't important. At least not to anyone but me.
Well, you two having lunch?
Oh, won't you join us, Paul?
Oh, Goddard, I thought you'd gone to Europe.
Whatever made you think that?
I heard you went on the same boat with Esther Brandis.
All the way stories get around. Just because I drove Esther to the dock, everyone apparently thought I sailed with her. Actually, I've been up to Boston for several weeks on business. I hope you'll deny the whole story the next time you hear it.
I shall. I certainly shall. Well, madame, today was my last lecture until the conservatory reopens in October.
Are you going abroad this summer, Monsieur Herbert?
No, I plan to stay in New York. It is wonderful whenever everyone else goes away.
I thought you might be going to Europe.
Not this year, though Paris calls with a siren voice.
And Esther Brandes, does she not also call?
Esther Brandes. That's like a name from the past.
I had a letter from her last week.
Really?
She has already sung in London, Munich, and Milan. The critics are prostrate at her feet.
That's what she wanted.
Some Bavarian princeling has even fought a duel over her.
Esther would like that.
Monsieur Inverne, you were not in love with her, were you?
Yes. I'm afraid I was.
But you are not anymore. Huh?
Not anymore.
No. That is good.
Why'd you say that, madame?
Esther Brandes will never have time for love. She is too ambitious. She will consider a man as she would a pair of new gloves.
Now you're being too harsh.
Her eyes glitter, but they will never glitter with tears. You are perhaps fortunate, monsieur, that she went to Europe.
Yes, I suppose.
But let me warn you, build a high wall before she returns. And do not leave so much as a crack in it, or she will sweep you off your feet again. That is all she would need, one small crack.
I've already built my wall, madame. And it's very, very high.
Gramercy Square will soon belong to her.
We spent a good many hours here.
So private, and yet probably observed by every resident in the square. Always including your mother.
Oh, look at the children jumping rope.
The sign of spring's not far off.
There's our little friend with her doll. You know, I still have one of my dolls.
Hmm?
I keep her in my room, and I talk to her every evening. She knows all about you.
And I thought you said you were not a child.
I'm not. My doll is my child.
Your dream child?
My dream child.
Remember Charles Lamb and his dream children?
I should like to have some dream children.
How many? Five? Six?
Oh, no, two would be quite enough. A boy and a girl.
What would their names be?
Now, let me think. Names are so very important.
How about calling the boy Desmond?
Desmond?
It's one of my names. Ulick Fitzgibbon Desmond Inver.
Oh, that's too much name for anyone.
Yes, it is.
All right, we'll call him Desmond.
And suppose we call the little girl Grana.
Well, why Grana?
Oh, don't you remember? The white horse that belonged to Brunhilde was called Grana.
Yes, I also remember the white horses in Rosamund's home. They always foretold trouble.
This is not a horse we're naming, a child. A dream child.
Desmond and Grana. Our dream children.
Yes, my dearest. Your dream children.
Oh, Monsieur Inverne, did you not wish your lunch?
Not today, Madame Felice.
How handsome you look. Men should always wear white suits.
This one will be gray before evening. I'm driving down to Coney Island to see a prize fight.
Monsieur, I've been meaning to tell you I had a note from Mademoiselle Brandis.
Esther?
She's singing at Bayreuth.
Is she?
Cosima Wagner herself invited her there. Personally, I do not like Wagner's music, but it is a great honor to sing Brunhilde at Bayreuth.
A very great honor.
In her letter, she asked for you.
Did she indeed?
Shall I give her a message for you when I arrive?
No, madame, I have no message to send Esther Brandis. No message at all.
Well, I never expected to see you at a prize fight.
Might amaze you. They range all the way from corned beef to Chopin.
Well, this has certainly turned into quite a fight.
Yes, I never thought this new man would last 10 rounds against the great John L. Sullivan, much less 30.
There! He's down! He's getting up again.
Get on your feet! On your feet!
He never will. He's finished.
No, he can't be.
He's getting up again. He's on his feet again. We seem to have the same tastes, you and I. Prize fights and the fair sex.
Oh, do we?
At first it was Esther Brandis, now Mona Milton.
Mona?
Yes, I'm very fond of her.
I didn't know, old man.
You're serious about Mona, aren't you?
Well?
I've been seeing her at various social gatherings.
Yes, she mentioned meeting you quite frequently.
Her father is on the board of directors of a company I'm interested in.
Oh, I didn't know.
Now that I've found out how you feel about Mona, I'll try and avoid seeing her.
That's hardly necessary. Hello! It looks like my man's got his second wind.
But let me tell you, Inverne, if you weren't serious about Mona, I'd ask her to be my wife.
Paul Goddard, that man about town thinking of marriage.
Why not? I've got a huge house that's been empty ever since my parents died. I'm bored, living alone. I want a home, a wife and children. Yes, if you weren't serious about Mona Milton, I'd marry her tomorrow.
Hello, what's happening?
Well, looks like John L. Sullivan wins again.
So, my man lost.
Better luck next time.
Yes, there's always a hope, isn't there? Next time.
Shops are beginning to shine like Christmas.
Yes, Fifth Avenue is a magical sight at this time of year. It's as though all the windows were straight out of a dream. The bright dream of a very small child.
Feels as though it might snow again. Oh, Ulick, couldn't we hire a sleigh and ride in Central Park through the first snow of the season?
That might be arranged.
Oh, I meant to tell you at lunch. She's back in New York.
Who's back in New York?
Esther Brandis.
Esther?
She arrived yesterday. Had a picture in the Tribune this morning.
I overstepped. I didn't see the morning papers.
She looked very handsome in the photograph.
Why do you assume I would be interested in how Esther looks? I'm not in the slightest.
Oh, Monsieur Inver. Good evening.
That voice.
Hey, Esther Brandis, she's back.
A voice. It's more wonderful than ever.
I have no ear for music, monsieur. All I want is a quiet corner where I can read my evening paper.
More wonderful than ever.
Vern, I have come back.
Esther. Esther, your voice. It's magnificent.
And what of Esther Brandes herself? Is she not also magnificent?
She is indeed.
Madame, you are looking only at my Paris gown.
She goes away a young girl, and she returns a woman. Elle est ravissante. Oh, but now she lives in great style. Not at the Maison Felice, but at the Murray Hill Hotel.
Esther, I must talk to you. Can't we have dinner tonight?
I was hoping you would ask that.
Just the two of us. Alone.
Alone.
Look, darling. It's just beginning to snow.
Snow? It can't.
But it is. See for yourself.
I promised to go a sleigh ride in Central Park. Well, some of us know. Yes, dear. It has been a happy evening.
I'm forgiven, then.
Forgiven?
For running off to Europe. For all the other selfish things I did.
You're forgiven. Utterly and completely forgiven.
Ulick, I need you more than ever. That's why I've come back. Even with my appearances in Europe, I still feel inexperienced. There's so much I have to learn.
Well, this is a new Esther Brandis.
Darling, we're almost at my hotel, and there's something I want to tell you.
You didn't bring a husband back from Europe.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Then nothing else matters.
Oh, yes, this matters. It matters very much. I'm to make my debut at the opera.
When? Which opera?
Christmas Eve, La Forza del Destino.
Good! Leonora's a fine role for you. Perfect.
But you must help me. Madame Fourchemadi will coach me, but you must also work with me.
We'll start tomorrow. Characterization first, then into the music.
Oh, my darling, I knew I could depend on you.
We must work especially on the Pace Pace Mio Dio from the last act.
Yes, I know.
That's the difficult aria, but you have the voice for it, big and rich and wonderful.
You been?
It's the holiday season, you know. Extra concerts.
But didn't you get my message?
Shh. We're attracting attention.
I don't care if we are. I must talk to you.
But we can't talk here.
Well, then let's go someplace
else. Certainly not. I'm reviewing this concert for my paper.
Oh, but Hewlett.
Shh. Everybody's looking. Really, Mona, you must be quiet.
You've had no time to see me ever since Esther Brandis came back.
Quiet, please.
Very well, Hewlett. I won't bother you again.
Where are you going?
Goodbye, Hewlett Inver.
Mona.
It's good to sit here before the fire. Forget about the opera for one evening.
For a little while, you've suggested a woman who is not also an operatic diva.
Tell me, how is your novel coming?
Novel? What are you talking about?
You're writing a book about me. Don't deny it. Madame Felice told me.
Ah, she's such a gossip.
You told me yourself before I went to Europe. You were going to call it painted veils.
You've a good memory.
What does that mean, painted veils?
My heroine calls herself Ishtar.
Ishtar. An exciting name.
She, too, is an opera singer. As intriguing and as tantalizing as that other Ishtar. That Babylonian goddess, the pure in heart who wore the seven veils. The book will, I hope, be a sort of modern parable. Naked nerves, mighty music.
May I read it, this parable?
Someday. Ever since you left for Europe, I've been working on it. And it was one way to forget you, to write about you. I made it easier not to write letters.
What shall we do tonight?
What about dinner at Moretti's? Then half an hour at one of the music halls.
Wonderful.
Perhaps Costa and Beale's. After that, we might hire a carriage.
Monsieur Inverne.
Come in, madam. Come in.
Oh, monsieur, a carriage has come for you. The driver says that Monsieur Milton sent him.
Mona's father?
Mademoiselle Mona has been hurt in an accident. You are to come immediately.
Grateful to you for coming, Mr. Inverne.
Is Mona seriously hurt?
We do not know. The doctor will return in the morning for another examination. If you'll come upstairs, please.
Certainly.
This way. I knew that you and Mona had been seeing quite a bit of each other. The doctor said it might be good for her if you were here when she regains consciousness.
Is she still unconscious?
Yes, he's afraid there may be some concussion.
How did it happen?
We don't know. Apparently she was crossing the street here in front of the house, going over to the square. In the storm, she must have somehow walked into a passing carriage. They found her crumpled in the snow. This is her door.
She seems to be weeping.
Yes, she's been doing that ever since they brought her home. I placed her doll in her arms, and she seemed to know what it was. See how she clutches it. Poor child.
She looks so very small. What's that she said?
I don't know. It seems to be a word or a name. I don't know what.
Paul. Paul.
It is a name, Mrs. Milton. Someone else is needed here. I'll find him. Tell him what's happened. Mona's calling Paul Goddard's name, not mine.
Inverne.
Hunted all over the city for you.
What'll you have to drink?
Haven't time. Mona's been hurt in an accident.
What? Badly hurt?
I have no idea yet. When she's regained consciousness, she asked for you.
Oh, but I haven't seen Mona in weeks. Not since you and I.
She's in love with you, Paul.
With me? But what about you?
Never mind about me. I've got a carriage waiting outside. Take it and go to her.
This is a side of your character I never suspected.
Frankly, I never suspected it myself.
Well, thanks, Inverne, for everything.
Good luck to you. Well, Madame Fauchemadi, what do you think? Will she be ready for her debut tomorrow night?
Esther, she has always been ready.
Yes, I suppose she has. Where is she now?
In Victor's classroom, showing off her fine feathers and furs to all these students.
Still have to go over Pachi Pachi this evening. She's worried about her interpretation.
Esther, worried? She knows very well that the debut will be perfection.
What are you saying?
Oh, she sang Pachi Pachi for me last week. Toss it off as though it were an exercise. She tells you that she is worried so that you will work with her. I warned you last year to build a wall around yourself.
So I did. A high wall.
Well, my friend, your wall has tumbled down.
And this area is actually a prayer. Very simple, completely sincere. That's how you must sing it.
But Leonora thinks her lover is dead.
But she also believes that her own life is finished. That's why it must be sung with dignity. She is lost. As I was lost when you went to Europe.
My darling. I thought all of that was forgotten. That's the past.
I found myself thinking that maybe also in the future.
I don't understand you tonight.
I keep wondering, Esther, would you do the same thing? Go off again if someone else offered you another scholarship?
Certainly not. I want no more scholarship.
Supposing someone offered you a castle in Scotland or a villa overlooking the Mediterranean?
Oh, that I might want.
And off you go again.
I might.
You'll never have the opportunity, Esther Brandes.
Ulrich. Well, you frighten me when you talk like this.
Don't be afraid. I'll do you no harm, now or ever. I'm going to destroy a part of you, but this will cause you no pain. Because this is part of you that was never really part of you at all.
You lick your book.
This is an Esther Brandes who never existed except in my mind.
No, don't throw it on the fire. Oh, no.
There. One Esther Brandes is destroyed in these flames. The other Esther Brandes will go straight on to her goal. Stardom at the opera, the toast of every continent, all the things you want.
Your manuscript is
nothing
but ashes.
You'll have your triumph, Esther Brandes. You'll achieve the success you're after. All of it and none of it.
I'm going back to my hotel.
You'll realize every ambition, every desire.
Shall I see you tomorrow night before my debut?
If you sing well, I shall come to your dressing room afterwards.
Aren't you going to wish me success?
You already know that you'll be a tremendous success.
Inverne. Ulrich Inverne.
Hello there.
Ulrich. Hello.
Mona. Didn't expect to see you tonight.
After all, it's Christmas Eve, and I had to hear Esther Brandes' debut.
How enchanting you look.
Yes, doesn't she?
Paul, tell him.
Tell him what?
We're to be married in 2 weeks.
I'm very happy for both of you.
Ulrich, I hope you and Esther come to our wedding. Mama plans nothing elaborate, just a few friends.
Of course I'll come.
Now we'd better find our seats before the overture starts. Ulrich, won't you have supper with us after the performance?
No, thank you. I got to see Esther.
We'll bring her with you. We'll go to Churchill.
Sorry, not tonight.
Can't you see he has his own plan?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, here, dear, this is our box.
Good night, Ulrich.
Bless you. Both of you.
Mademoiselle, even Papa stayed awake. Never before has he kept his eyes open for a whole opera.
Felice, would you see who that is?
Oui, mademoiselle.
So I must go back to the Maison Felice. We are having a little party in your honor.
Madame Felice.
Monsieur Inverne.
Come in, darling. I've been waiting for you. Tell me, how was I?
You know very well you were magnificent.
Oh, of course she was. But she wishes to be told. Now I must get home. Mademoiselle, promise that you will join us later.
Yes, yes, I'll stop by for a few minutes.
You are for Monsieur Inverne. We will expect you both.
Thank you,
yes,
Kelly.
Yes,
thank
yes,
you
we
very
there.
Much. I had to say I'd go to a stupid party or she never would have left us.
Then you aren't going to be there later?
Certainly not. I have other plans. Kiss me, darling.
No, I'm sorry.
We aren't going to have another scene like the one last night.
There's an old saying, in the heart of every prima donna, there's a broker. Instead of stocks and bonds, my dear, you deal in emotions. You use them as a form of exchange with which to pay your personal bills.
I don't think
you
I like this.
You are indeed a prima donna, made of harps and marbles.
You've no right to talk that way.
You expect everyone to fetch and carry for you. Anything from a paper of pins to a human soul.
Miss Brenda. Miss Brenda, are you there?
If I should go on seeing you, being with you, I'd come to hate you, Esther Brandes. We'd hate each other. And that's something I couldn't survive. Your hate would devour much more than your love. I had planned to take you out to supper tonight to toast you and wine and adore you.
You needn't bother. I'd already promised to have supper with Prince Ludwig.
You know, I find myself curiously detached. I don't care. Not at all. I'm not angry. Not jealous. Have supper with your fat prince. Live your life, Esther Brandes.
I shall. Don't worry.
You belong to the world, not to me, not to any man. And yet you will always belong to me, as you can never belong to anyone else. Whenever you sing, no matter where you are, you'll always be singing to me. You'll always be remembering. Yes, Esther Brandes, in a certain way, you'll always belong to me. Forever. Now, your adoring public is waiting to sweep you off your feet.
Ulick, I'm sorry.
And here they are, Esther Brandes. I give you your public.
No, Ulick, don't go, no!
Magnificent.
You shall.
We salute you. Farewell, Esther Brandes. Farewell.
Mr. Inverne, time to go on the air.
Thank you, young man.
We'll go out into the studio now.
Fine. I was just sitting here thinking about Esther Brandes. You asked me what she was really like. I've been thinking back to that first day when she arrived in New York City.
Well, here we are. You can sit at this table.
Thank you.
It's just midnight. Christmas, 1947.
Well, Merry Christmas.
And to you, sir. I'll sit here across the table from you. As you talk, we'll start playing the record of Miss Brandes' voice.
Excellent.
You have 10 seconds and we're on the air. You have your script?
Just a few notes I wrote down. Now, which pocket did I put them in? Here they are.
5 seconds.
You'll signal when I start talking.
Certainly. Now, you must be quiet for just a second.
I won't say a word.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, midnight, Christmas Eve, we are privileged to broadcast the voice of the great American opera star, Esther Brandes, on a unique recording from the private collection of the noted music critic, Ulick Inverne. It was he who discovered Esther Brandes and coached her in many of her greatest operatic roles. Mr. Inverne has graciously come to our studios tonight to say a few words of introduction. Mr. Inverne.
She was a great artist, Esther Brandes. Yet, curiously, through the years, she came to be known, especially to recent generations, not as a great diva, but as one who sang a simple hymn of faith, Silent Night.
Hester Brandes sang Silent Night every Christmas Eve, sometimes from Paris, on other occasions from South America, Chicago, or from a ship in mid-ocean. Tonight, once again, we are to hear the voice of Hester Brandes as it was recorded more than 25 years ago. As you listen now with me, I wonder if you, too, will hear her voice, not as it sounds on the record, but as it sounded many years ago. Young and glorious. The voice of Hester Brandes.
From Studio One at CBS, you have just heard James Mason in Fletcher Markle's production of Painted Veils by James Huneker. Another full-hour dramatic entertainment from radio's most celebrated playhouse. Tonight's script was especially prepared for this series by Vincent McConner. The operatic excerpts were arranged and the original music composed by Curtis Biver and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground, Ulick Inver was played, of course, by Mr. Mason. I'm sorry.
Mr. Brandy?
Was Mercedes McCambridge, and Esther's singing voice was impersonated by Miss Eileen Farrell.
Mona Melton.
Was Kathleen Cordell?
Paul Garrett.
Was Everett Sloan?
Madame Felice.
Was Hester Sondergaard?
Madame Fouchard.
Was played by Lily Valenti. Actively assisting were Grant Richards, Hedley Rennie, Miriam Wolfe, Robert Dryden, Louis Quinn, and Gregory Morton. Next week from Studio One, Edna Ferber's Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, So Big. Our star, Joan Blondell. Theme up. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. End of recording.
Tomorrow...